And the previous song was recorded on my way to the bathroom whenever I got out of my car and only had moments to go before it was time to come into the studio and do Ray on the Radio. This is Ray Hill. The name of the show is Ray on the Radio, and it's a regularly Wednesday 2 p.m. afternoon feature of Houston Media Source, and you're listening via the secret address www.hmsnetradio.org, and I am so glad that you found it so that we can chat today. You can play with the radio if you like. Telephone number here is 713-222-0715. Give us a call, and you and I will play with the radio. Or I can do it solo for a while, but it would be a lot more fun if we did it together. 713-222-0715 is that magic number, and it never changes. That's the nature of radio. You always show up where you're supposed to be. And it's been an interesting week. I appreciate those who listened to our show last week. We had guests, if you'll recall. And we talk about the intersexed movement, or category of people that fall under that nomenclature for the purposes of the famous hashtag GLBTQI. So they are not all the same, we learned, but they are people, and they're entitled to consideration as full human beings, as are the rest of us. And I don't know about you, but I enjoyed the conversation and the dialogue, and we didn't get into a lot of controversial topics, but we talked about acceptance and open-mindedness and the unique ability to let people define themselves. And that has a lot to do with everything. I have good reason to believe that Buster or Pastor George are going to call in later during the show. And what they want to talk about is all of this sexual harassment stuff. If you woke up this morning, turned on ABC or NBC to see the Today Show with Matt Lauer, what you got was Matt Lauer's co-host explaining that Matt is not there, will not be there, because apparently he has behaved badly in the eyes of the administration. And as a result, they fired him and took him off the air. And there's a lot of that going on right now. I mean, Charlie Rose last week. Charlie, bless his heart. I've been listening to Charlie Rose. And I enjoy his interview style. But that is to be no more, because PBS and whoever else he was affiliated with have severed the ties, because he would apparently try to get sexual with female co-workers or others. And they not only rejected his advances, but they felt imposed upon for getting his advances. And so the solution to that problem is to discharge him and send his own. And I have no idea how much these people stash back to live for their lives. In Charlie's case, he's getting on up there. He's almost my age, so he doesn't have too long to worry about poverty if he ever sees it. Matt Lauer is a considerably younger man, and he may have some time. But Texas U.S. Representative Boggs has been sending embarrassing pictures of himself. And I saw the picture on the internet, and reminded me why I don't send nude pictures of myself to anyone, because I don't want them to scare, in case some child run across, they would just scare the kids. And why would you do that? What is it? Oh, I understand that as men get older, they have sexual insecurities, and then that'll lead to something. But quite frequently, the loss of sexual security and the appetite for at least the hope of being sexual don't all occur at the same time. And I've said many times, and you'll hear me say over and over again, is that I am the lobbyist for the topless industry, and I can assure you that I know for an absolute fact that there is no small amount of money that can be made off of male sexual insecurity. It seems to abound, and is almost always there to goad people into doing things that makes fools of themselves. And the cover charge and the tips in a topless club are amazing. I sit there and watch the money flow. And it seems to be a competitive thing. How much attention can I get off of this dancer with sticking dollar bills in unseemly places? And then I realized that sometimes in that business I got paid in bundles of dollar bills. I mean, how's that to think about? And then I'd go to the bank and ask them to count that money and give me money in larger denominations so it's more usable. And I've never had a teller ask me, by the way, where has this money been? And if you are a lobbyist for the topless industry, that could prove to be an awkward question to answer. But sometimes money came in ones, $1 at a time. And sometimes it came in larger denominations. But a good tip to be stuck in the G-string or somewhere in those surrounds is a dollar. And the accumulation of dollars then goes through the counting machine, gets bundled up into hundreds, and I would get paid in bundles of those $101 bills. And I knew where those bills had been, but I decided not to share that information with the teller at the bank. My bad. My name is Ray Hill, and the name of the show is Ray, R-A-Y, on the radio, R-A-Y-D-I-O. And I'm here every Wednesday from 2 o'clock until 3 o'clock. Seeing as how that we're only 10 minutes into the show, our lead music today was from a cartoon series. And it was about race drivers. And that was fun. Ronnie had it all planned out so that worked this week. Doesn't always work. Frequently get to the show before we get to the segue theme music that he has chosen. But it worked out just right this week. And I was able to take over the airways at roughly 5 minutes after the top of the hour. And we will run until 3 o'clock, and then I will get out of here and come back next week. Other things in the topic is Oberman. Remember Oberman? The guy who used to be in commentary, used to be a sports reporter. And he turned a political reporter, and then he got that particular branch of the faith down, and so he was basically a Trump shooter. And then they took him off the network, and he formed his own media corporation. He's been putting up his material in blogs, but he has stayed after Trump unshakingly. Well, he announced yesterday that, oh, by the way, his blog, his video blog, is known as The Resistance. And he announced yesterday that the impeachment of the guy that he organized around objecting to, Donald Trump, the impeachment of Donald Trump was inevitable, was inescapable. And it was at such a passion that previous leadership has been impeached with impunity. So he did one dying moments left for the Trumpster, and announced his retirement from his blog, which has been pretty much continuous the last several years. I don't know if I'm buying that. I know that impeachment is a process. The impeachment itself is not the decision. Impeachment is a process to remove a president. The decision after the impeachment trial before the Senate is either 21 or 23. If it's 21, then process moves quickly. So we'll see how that works out. The way it actually works is the House drafts the articles of impeachment, a trial held before a judge has got to come in and try the case. And then a vote is taken up or down on that trial. I see what you're talking about there. And I somehow don't think it's realistic that the House of Representatives is going to bring some articles of impeachment against Trump. Then the trial itself is held in the Senate. I don't see that happening. And I'll tell you why. It is a laborious and at best an archaic process to impeach a sitting president of the United States. And it is, as it should be, difficult to do. Oh, every one of us know a president or two we had wished we could impeach, but that's no legitimate process of due process that would get us to a trial. And then the Senate has to consider that, with the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court presiding. And the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is a long way removed from being a trial judge. Therefore, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court may not have the necessary skill set to be a trial judge, and that can be a mess. I remember when we were getting ready to impeach Richard Nixon after the so-called Watergate scandal. Watergate was actually just a second-rate burglary. But when he spoke of such things, he spoke to an almost hushed terms. So we'll have to see what that process goes through. But I don't think we're going to get there. I think that an Article 25, 25th Amendment process is much more likely, and that is the White House insiders decide that they've had enough and they're not going to put up with any more. So what they do is they go in and remove the president. They can do so without a lot of due process if the president and the chief of staff of the military and the other people in that room think it is necessary to remove the president, they will simply remove them and make the announcement on the morning news, something like Matt Lauer's announcement. This morning was a surprise. The president has been removed because the vice president and the chief staff in the White House have decided that he can no longer function because of he's incapable for whatever reason they determine to do the job of president. Then it's real easy for them to just say he's out of here, and so he will be just out of there. And they will, of course, continue. The vice president will become the president, and then a new vice president will have to be appointed. There's no way to elect those people on short notice. And we'll have a shuffling of the deck and see what happens after that. That's the part I'm not too enthusiastic about. To see what happens, to see who is going to get the power and how well graduated are they, and their general condition, then they take over the office and they proceed from there. It's kind of like, instead of choosing your leadership chooses the position they want, and they get it by operational fiat. And so that gave me pause. So, waiting for the call to come in. You can call in and break up my boredom. The number here is 713-222-0715. Be more than glad to hear from you. There's a call coming in right now. Let's see what we can do. Hello?
Hello, is this Ray's Radio?
It's Ray on the radio here on HMSnetRadio.org. I was anticipating your call. Thank you for doing that.
Well, that's all right. I just want to make sure that I got the right one, the right Ray.
Okay. Are they there rays in abundance out there? I didn't know that.
Well, the rays of the sunshine are pretty good over here in Huntsville, Texas today. And hey, I'm gonna get in my car and go on downtown Huntsville, which is just a few minutes away, and I'm gonna try to catch some people over there at the Democratic or Republican or headquarters and get them on the radio with you to promote your big event over here for this coming Saturday. And I expect all the listeners, even those from Hong Kong, to be here. And it will be Saturday afternoon from noon until 4 at the Huntsville Public Garden.
Now, wait a minute. The announcement newspaper said 2.
Well, that's when, if you'll read it carefully, it said that it will be from noon until 4, but the big event will be at 2 when I announce guests and dignitaries and all the guy from Hong Kong, and then you will be on the road.
What exactly is going to go on between noon and 2?
Well, I'm going to tell a few stories. I think some people are coming over here just to get to tell a few stories about their life, memoirs. We'll see. But it'll be a workshop type of thing, and we'll tape it, and whoever wants to come can do it. But I thought it would be a little much to try to do a 4-hour, because people won't come to 4 hours. So I had to put the highlight at 2 p.m. to 4 p.m.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's my theory. I don't know if I got it across, because apparently you didn't understand it, but I never understand much.
Okay, so the group is called Writer's Block?
Well, that's what it's called.
Okay. No, I have suffered that before. They make medications for that, you know.
Well, I did put it under assumed name one time, but it's my organization. Looks like a bunch of people that put together, but it's really just 3, me, myself, and I. That's just between you and your listeners, because I want you.
Oh, no, my listeners don't tell anything. They never talk out of school. That's the nature of my listeners. Ain't that right?
Yeah. Have you got anybody in the studio today?
No, I'm flying solo today. I've got a license to fly solo.
All right. Well, I wanted to take up a few issues and just test them out with you before I take off in my car. But I'm going to try the last in just a minute. But I want to get into this women's stuff. You know, your friend Garrison Keillor has now hit the skids. He's out of there. He did something wrong. Matt Lauer. Did you hear about Garrison?
No, I didn't hear about Garrison. I read Garrison very well, and I quote him often. So maybe I should know that.
Well, he's been ejected from public television.
Wait a minute. He retired several years ago, so...
No, but he still is on public radio from Minnesota, apparently.
Well, the only thing he's currently doing is Writer's Almanac.
All right. Well, I'm telling you what he said. Minnesota Public Television is taking him out. He's gone. I'll tell you, Ray, this is Ray on the radio. Am I right?
I hope so.
Okay. But... let me tell you, this is this is overwhelming what's happened to these men. And, you know, I think basically what happened when the women's movement got started in the 70s, I was around, and I was a big supporter of Kathy Whitmire, who I thought was a real strong leader of sorts. She didn't turn out to be quite that, but anyway... she was the first female, pretty much, to make it. I think she was the first female mayor.
Mayor of Houston, she was.
And then she went on to move to Hawaii and all that stuff. But I'll tell you, the women's movement had a really good theory about it. They wanted to empower women to be able to be themselves, to be able to be strong and stand up against men. And to just be assert themselves, and that's what I want as a strong woman. I don't want a weak woman. Of course, weak and strong women don't want anything to do with me, and especially my friend Pastor F.U. George, who'll be here Saturday. He's called in and he'll be here. But you know what's happened? The women generally have just turned into a bunch of whiners. Women just whine about everything, and they demand their... And then when you...
Oh, wait a minute, Walter. Are you open to a little resistance about that?
Well, of course, of course.
Do you remember... Where were you in 1977?
Well, I don't remember where I was the day before yesterday, but...
No, 1977 was a big year because young Fred Hoffines was the mayor of Houston.
Oh, yeah, golly.
And young Fred had a position in his staff called a women's advocate, and that person was Nikki Van Hightower.
I do remember that. I do remember.
And 1977 was also some incremental anniversary of a gathering that happened in Seneca Falls, New York.
Yeah.
Some 50 years before, or 70 years, or I don't know, some nice round numbered years before that. And Houston opened its doors to host a conference for the International Year of the Woman.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Well, I attended that. Now, I'd only been out of prison 2 years. And so I needed to have portfolio there. And since I didn't look good in a dress and couldn't pass as a woman myself, I thought the closest thing to doing that is to present myself as a journalist. So I called National Public Radio, which was kind of a shoestring operation in 1977. It was before NPR got rich and famous. And I said, I am a reporter. I live in Houston. I have some experience in journalism, and I would like to be credentialed as a stringer from NPR to cover the conference, International Women's Year Conference in Houston.
Yeah.
And so they gave me some press papers, and I went down and I registered, because in those days, if you were media attending something of that nature, they had a press office, and you would go down and register so that you could have free-flowing movement around the conference. And I wouldn't have to pay for things like... the opening of Judy Chicago's The Dinner Table down at Clear Lake University. That was a high-dollar event, but I got in with a press pass instead of having to buy a ticket. As a matter of fact, I went down to Clear Lake to cover the showing of Judy Chicago's The Dinner Table, and what it was an art exhibit, and it was a large set table with issues on the menu, and it was an impressive piece of art. But as I came out, I looked up the sidewalk there, and here came Germaine Greer, the English feminist, was coming down the sidewalk going in to see the art exhibit that I had just seen. So I very quickly adjusted my press pass so that it was visible, and I stepped over and I says, Ms. Greer, do you have a few words? And she said, who are you? And I said, I'm a stringer for... I said, I'm a reporter. That wasn't entirely true, but if you don't know the internal language, you can't tell the difference, for National Public Radio. She said, oh, that's something like BBC. And I said, yes, ma'am, something like BBC. And she said, I'd be charmed. And so I said, well, let me ask you a few questions. And about my third question was, the feminist movement has been accused of being anti-sexual. What say you? I posed, and she said, oh, no, heavens, no. Sex is really quite marvelous, you see, but there's got to be more to it than all that dreadful poking, which I thought at the time was one of the better lines I've ever caught on an open microphone. And I actually persuaded National Public Radio to run that story in what was the equivalent of Small Things Considered that evening. Oh, no, that's All Things Considered that evening. But Germaine Greer saying that there's sex is really quite marvelous, but there's got to be more to it than all that dreadful poking. Now, the feminist movement would have resisted being accused of being anti-sexual in 1977. Even Germaine Greer, Germaine's kind of saucy anyway, but Germaine Greer articulated that well.
Well, and now there's, I was reading that recently women are able to get have a better chance of achieving an orgasm in a lesbian situation than with a man's poke. But remember, poke became the big deal in Lonesome Dove. It was, can I have a poke? I got $50. I mean, that was a lot of money for a poke in Lonesome Dove.
Yeah, I think that had to be fiction because that would have been well above the going rate.
Well,
$50 in the late 19th century was a lot of money.
Yeah, well, it was a lot of money, and of course, but this was a special girl that what's his name? The character was. He liked her, and remember, he got her. He got her back from the Indians, and remember, two lines in that Ray, both times. You know, when that guy left his boy, and the boy got murdered by that Indian, and then another time when the woman, his girlfriend, did get raped. And this, both times, they all said if they shouldn't have done it, they shouldn't have done it, but they did. They did, honey. They did. They had to move on. You know, that's easier said than done. I'm approaching the Republican headquarters here. Let's see if they're open. Because I'm going in there. Tell them. What's this? It looks like
they're
it
closed.
Looks like they're open, Ray. So. Tell them I'm going to say call if Linda's in, she's the head, tell her she's the one that calls you names.
Oh, that's okay. All right.
Now, I know it, but tell her she's on the radio. I'm just going to tell her.
Well, aren't you kind of cutting this discussion of the women conversation off very prematurely short?
No, look, I made one comment, and you went on and on about your...
I'm interested. Before you go in and disturb...
Could I reply? And then you went into a long-winded story about
Germaine Greer.
Germaine Greer. Okay, well... Finish it up, and now I'm
the question I have to put out, because I did some posting on my blog about this sexual harassment thing. I posted that speaking to my individual audience, if I'd ever sexually harassed you, it wasn't an accident. I did that because I intended to do that. And I expressed my thanks that you responded to that gently rather than kicking my ass, because I bruise easily ass kicking is not what I seek. Then I said, if I've done that in the last 10 years, I want to genuinely thank you and express my appreciation that you gently refused, because otherwise I would have made a complete fool of myself, an embarrassing fool of myself with performance difficulties. And you spared me all of that by saying no.
Yeah, I either read that or somebody read it to me, I believe. That was all right. Now, I'm busy here trying to promote this event here. So it'll get around, but just let me see who's in there. Whoever it is, I'm going to get them on the line with you. You just
okay.
Tell them who you are, okay? And I'll, if it's Linda, she's chair of the Republican Party here. I'm passing the Main Street office.
And that's right there on the Main Street.
Yeah, well, it's right on the corner across from the court.
On 13th Street.
All right, yeah, she's here. You want to talk to her?
If she will talk to me.
Folks, well, they're a little busy in here, but she may, Linda, someone wants to talk.
Hello, Linda?
Yes.
This is Ray Hill. You're in the Republican headquarters of Walker County.
I am, yes, sir.
How's business?
Booming.
Good. Now, this is an off-election year. We will have a state and county election next year. What do you do these years on the odd-numbered years, like 17? What goes on at the Republican Party headquarters there in Huntsville?
Well, I have people filing for office to be on the ballot in 2018.
That's because your primary is when?
In March of 2018.
2018. But the deadline for filing is when?
December the 11th at 6 p.m.
December the 11th. How folks coming in? Do you go out and solicit folks? What? How does that happen?
I do not solicit people per se, but yes, we have 16 precinct chair, and we have, I think, about 10 or 12 election officials that will be on the ballot.
Okay, that's county commissioners and...
county judge, county commissioners, district clerk, county clerk.
And down at the bottom of the primary ballot will be your office, right?
Yes, sir.
Rewrite your office. And basically the same process happens over at the Democratic Party headquarters?
As far as I know, it does. I don't know anything about them.
Okay.
I'm not a Democrat.
Okay. Well, that adds up. How many judicial districts overlap in Walker County?
You didn't tell me that.
Well, you should
have. I'm sorry, what did you say?
How many judicial districts overlap there in Walker County? You've got a district court?
We have two district courts.
County court?
78 and not county court. It doesn't overlap. It's only Walker County.
Okay. How many county courts do you have? Do you have a civil court and a criminal court, or are they combined in jurisdiction?
It's combined.
It's combined in jurisdiction. But it is an elected position.
Yes.
Do you expect a lot of competition in the Republican Party primary? Are there people running against other Republicans in it?
Right now we have two offices that are contested.
And in your position, you can't...
Actually, we have three, I'm sorry.
You have three, and in your position, you can't take a position on those races until after the primary.
That's right.
Okay. What kind of voter turnout does Walker County do in a Republican primary?
I don't remember that. Sorry. I don't have that info. Okay. Here.
Did you invite her to your presentation this Saturday?
No, but I'll be glad to do that. Okay. I will actually be in Huntsville this coming Saturday at a public library that Walter has not told me where that's located, but I'll find it.
And it's in the middle of town. You can't miss it.
It's on 13th Street?
On 13th Street.
Oh, okay. If it's on 13th Street, I know the breadth and the depth of 13th Street in any direction.
Okay. I'll try to get over there. I've got a couple other things to do Saturday, but Walter has been so kind to stop by and invite me, and so I will see if I can get by there.
Well, if we get a chance to... If we get a chance to speak when I'm not on microphone, would you tell me how you get Walter to be kind, because I have not discovered that yet?
Walter is very kind to me.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I need to know that because I hear...
You just talk so much, man. But you do ask good questions. And she's not a real fan of yours, but...
we'll convert her. That's what you have these things for.
Pastor George will be there to confront you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Walter, for doing that.
Well, you should have told her. I should have told her, but it's okay.
Well, I asked her questions like a journalist. It wasn't hard to figure out.
No, you didn't. And I watched it very carefully that there wasn't any cussing or anything.
No. She's nice.
She was very good. And, of course, we're going to... All right. Goodbye. Good luck. God bless.
Thank you, Walter.
Ray, wait a minute. Okay. Wait a minute.
You're okay. Sticking with me, huh?
You don't do commercials.
No, I don't do commercials.
I'm going down to the Democratic headquarters.
Oh, okay.
Now. There'll be somebody there.
Oh, okay.
It's just a block.
Walter is our man in Huntsville. Now, if you need a visual for that, remember that there was a movie called Our Man in Havana. It was played by a famous British actor. And the deal is that our man in Havana was a total fraud. He would give dispatches from Havana which had not one shred of truth in it, but it held the whole world in bated breath for another feed from our man. And who was it? He played in Bridge on the River Kwai. What was his name? Walter?
I remember. I just can't remember the name of him. I picture him right now. I'm up to the Democratic headquarters. Oh, they're closed, right? They're closed.
Well, maybe there's not enough business for Democrats in Huntsville.
No, there's not, but they usually stay open just for me, if nothing else. Yeah, they're closed, I guess. But we got the main thing, and let me see if there's somebody coming out of the courthouse today. Man on the street or something.
Yeah, we can do that.
Let me go into this cafe on the called Patio on the Square.
Where Patio on the Square is. You're over on that side of the square.
It used to be the bar place. Let me see if there's anybody in here who would be.
Well, you know, right there on that corner. Right down on the corner with 13th Street and where the patio on the square is located is where Sam Houston used to sit in a deerskin chair.
Hold on. Here's Paxton. There's somebody that wants to talk to you, Paxton.
You're on the radio.
Paxton?
Yes, sir.
This is Ray Hill, and we're on the radio here in Houston, Texas.
Yes, sir.
What's going on down on the square in Huntsville today?
Just regular day-to-day business. There was some...
Yeah, but if you don't live in Huntsville, you don't know what that is.
Well, I do live in Huntsville.
I know, but my audience doesn't. So tell them what goes on Huntsville on the square on a Wednesday afternoon.
Well, on a Wednesday afternoon, there's some quaint shops, there's some antique shops, there's a good little... I'm actually sitting in a place called the Patio Cafe that has a really nice menu. I was in court earlier this morning, and I'm done for the day. I've got some hearings tomorrow. I'm in Carthage, Texas, but the day-to-day is... The courthouse is always busy.
Are you an attorney?
Yes, sir, I am.
What kind of law do you practice?
I predominantly criminal defense and... civil rights law. I got a master's in intellectual property law, but believe it or not, there's not a whole lot of that going on in Huntsville, Texas.
But there is a sufficient criminal law going on to give a successful practice in that business?
I have a decent practice. It's fine.
Do you know my old friend Scrappy Hines?
You know what? I Scrappy Holmes?
Holmes, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's a legend. He's a legend. I met him on about five occasions and listen to him speak every time I go to... There's a big seminar in San Antonio that he was a key speaker at about a year ago, and just talked about the practice of law. And he's a really neat guy, hell of a lawyer, an inspiring man. So,
I met Scrappy. Scrappy called me, mm-hmm. Of course, we've all got Scrappy stories because that's just the kind of lawyer he is.
Yes, sir.
Scrappy called me and he had a client who, out of Jackson County.
Yes, sir.
Who had, I was a college student, an Iraqi college student, who had killed his dorm roommate who was an Iranian. And Scrappy called me and said, the boy's got a lot of time, and I think that I can do something about that, and hired me to go up and teach the guy how to do prison time.
Okay.
And I do that kind of professionally. I taught Martha Stewart and others how to do prison time. And I went to Jackson County because I had to do this inside the jail, because he had a very serious case, and so I'm talking to the kid. I've got to know the kid's background. The kid's got very nice Muslim parents who are in the convenience store business and the donut shop business. They're small business entrepreneurs, but the kid himself was a Pentecostal.
Right.
And so as I'm looking for the conflicts in his life that may create problems doing time, and I reached the conclusion that Scrappy had mistried that case. Scrappy tried the case as if the guy was a suppressed homosexual who had a fantasy about his roommate, and he got up and acted on it in a fit of emotional perversion.
Right.
The kid was transgendered. He wasn't homosexual at all. And
every time we lose, we get a second guess. That's the nature of human beings.
Yeah, well, but no, I'm not criticizing Scrappy with it, but it just never occurred to Scrappy to think about this guy with hair coming out of his T-shirt neckline,
right,
actually imagining himself not as a gay male, but as a woman. And it was really an act of self. But Scrappy was able to go back, reopen the trial, and get the guy considerably less time than he received, because that's how good of a lawyer Scrappy is.
Oh, he's a heck of a lawyer.
Man. Yeah. And the guy did his time successfully and got out, and I kind of lost track of him. But I'm always fascinated by criminal law as practiced in counties like Walker and Bell and Jackson County, because that's a whole different atmosphere than the machine practice of law in Harris County.
It's different, and I'll tell you something that's really interesting about practice of law in Walker County is our prison system. If you pick a jury, you know, out of 60 or 70 people, probably half of that jury is affiliated with the prison system in one way or the other.
Sure.
They're a TDC correctional guard, their husband is, they work for Wyndham School. And at first I was afraid of it, but I actually had learned to, I think, embrace it. You know, if you got a self-defense case, prison guards are great because they understand how fast you have to react. But I love practicing law here. I grew up here, and it's a wonderful community. It's I've always had fun here. I like talking to you, man. It's good.
Well, I'm going to be in town Saturday.
Walter said you were going to be in town Saturday.
I hope you can make it over there. We'll have an interesting talk.
Well, let me tell you, I would love to. However, my fiance is taking her LSAT, her law school entrance exam, and so I'm going to be there supporting her, or I would otherwise be happy to meet you.
Well, good, nice talking to you on the radio.
Hey, man, you take care of yourself. It's good talking to you. I'm going to give you back to Walter.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, God bless you, man.
Bye-bye. Well, Walter,
yeah,
that was fascinating.
Yeah, it was.
Talk about the practice of law in Walker County and surrounding counties, and we have some mutual friends, Scrappy Holmes.
Paxton is probably the best criminal defense lawyer around in these parts. He just lost a bad case, but he got life real fast on the case. But, you know, you can't judge on that.
No.
Paxton Adams, I hope he'll come.
Cases have lives of their own, as you well know.
I'm thinking on you as being the best lawyer in this place. But I've got a little background to know the truth about that. All right. Well, I'm at Patio on the Square, and The city still owns the place to sell. The city still owns this place. She's gone. All right. Yeah, I heard.
Well, this has been an interesting excursion around the square in Huntsville.
Well, I tell you, we're about to run out of time, and of course, I'm exiting Patty on the Square, which used to be the, I've forgotten even what they called it. That was the drinking place.
Yeah, I remember when it was a restaurant bar.
Yeah, well, it still is, but it's more modified now. You just really had an interview with one with my favorite lawyer.
In the old days, while Sam Houston was alive, right down there in the corner, there was actually a door that opened up at the corner. It was one of those angled entrances.
Yeah.
And that was a drugstore in there.
Yeah.
And Sam Houston used to sit there on the sidewalk in a deerskin chair that he had cut the rear legs off. So it was kind of a rigid recliner. And he made whistles out of bamboo to give to the school kids when they passed and tell stories of Texas history. And he had a wonderful sense of humor. And some of those stories were written down because there was always a college there. And those college kids would come over and make notes of his story. And there is a body of work about the humor of Sam Houston. And a friend of mine who used to be a newsman in Houston, Ron Stone. Do you remember Ron Stone?
Of course I do.
And Ron Stone was a big fan of Sam Houston's humor. And while Ron was alive, he and I thought about going up to that theater there, right across the street from where that corner is. And both of us dressing up like Sam Houston with kind of big floppy hats and sitting on either side of the stage and doing Sam Houston impersonation competition.
Okay.
But that never became manifest because...
I'm walking to health and energy. I'll try to get Blaine on the phone here, but he's tied up. He runs this health and energy place. I think you came by here one time, but he's tied up.
Okay, well, don't bother him. Anyway, I'm running out of time, Walter. And so I will see you Saturday.
I certainly hope so.
Now, what time do you want me there?
Well, no later than 10, but get there before that because... I'm going to tell a few of my stories, and other people might too, so be free for all. But when you hit, I'll announce the dignitaries.
At 2 o'clock.
If they're any here at 2 o'clock, and then we'll get right into your stuff, and I will get with you. I want you to start it with your old thing. You remember what you did on Rattle Them the Pipe Chasing?
Rattle Them Bars.
All right, start it off that way, and then... We'll get together on the format. Okay.
Okay, Walter.
Right. Hold on. Here's some. No, I don't know her. I better not put
her. Okay. Talk to you later, Walter.
Okay.
There he goes. Walter's, bless his heart, he's out harassing women to be on the radio in downtown Huntsville, Texas. I guess you can get away with that. No, what's all this harassment things coming to light all at the same time, and it seems to be everywhere. It's kind of like the air we breathe is being motivated by really a crusade. There is a movement started that says Me Too, and it is an open invitation for women who have been sexually pressured or sexually abused in any way to come forward and identify themselves as victims of that kind of behavior. So that means that it is not a surprise that Matt Lauer's Victims Come to Garrison. I haven't heard that yet, but Garrison's an old radio guy. I know Garrison. Love his radio. And I suppose that Garrison would... well, let's say Garrison is not the best-looking guy in the world. He's big, he's awkward, he's clumsy, he's great for radio. Television, not so much. He's not your leading man kind of character, even though Garrison is a good 6'3 or 6'4. He's a big old hulky man, but he sure does give great radio. And has been doing great radio for as many years as I have been around. Was there Garrison Keillor before Prairie Home Companion? Yes, there was Garrison Keillor before Prairie Home Companion. Did Prairie Home Companion proved to be a magnificent vehicle? It was, and he improved it. He began doing Prairie Home Companion as a radio show, and then he decided, wait a minute, what would happen if I put this radio show on a stage? And then broadcast after broadcast, the curtain would go up somewhere, usually in Minnesota or in St. Paul or in Minneapolis. And Garrison would stride out using all the old radio rules. He'd read from a script, and when he got through with the page, peel it off and just drop it. Because you don't turn pages in radios, you peel it off and drop it on the floor. And every good radio show has got to have a great sound effects man. And Garrison could hunt down and get the cooperation of the best sound effects people in the whole industry. As a radio guy through to the core. And then that audience in that theater could see that sound effects man making all of those sound effects to go along with the stories that maybe Garrison was telling, or he had a cast doing radio theater right there on the stage. If you never saw it, you can picture it in your mind. A group of people standing around playing roles, telling their lines into microphones from scripts and dropping the scripts on the floor as they completed each page, while over there on the side is a guy who is making the sounds necessary to augment the words to make the stories work as they can only work in radio, because they depend on your imagination to make those stories work. It's theater at its very best. And Garrison is one of the great masters of that. Does he have human failings? Of course. Let's get real. We all have human failings. Are some of those related to aging male sexual insecurity? Hell yes. Some are some of my failings. And if you're male, so will be some of yours when that time comes around on the guitar. See how I slipped in an Arlo Guthrie line in a story about Garrison Keillor? The history, the evolution of communication drives to the heart of radio. My name is Ray Hill. The name of the show is Ray on the Radio, and thank you for joining me for the last hour. I hope that you will point some internet-connected device with speakers or earbuds to hmsnetradio.org next week, and I will see you on the radio again. In the meantime, I wish you prosperity, I wish you happiness, I wish you even gratification. Good day, and have a wonderful week.